All right, Habs fans, hockey fans, near and far, an episode of the Curfew Boys podcast, post-game episode of the Montreal Canadiens. I am Sammy with my boy, the stats man, Joey. What's up, buddy?
Hey now.
Hey now. Well, we are recording on a Saturday evening for the first time in probably a long time. These afternoon games seem to put a change in our scheduling department.
We have to talk to that scheduling team after.
We have to talk to the NHL scheduling team after, absolutely. Listen, before we get started, to all our listeners, either brand new or those that have supported us between day one, thanks for tuning in. Please don't forget to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is absolutely free. Tell any of your Habs friends around the world about us. Please help us grow and share the love for this team. All our episodes are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, any podcast platform. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter, that we're mostly active in terms of platforms. And the Canadiens, might as well get started. The Canadiens lose the New Jersey Devils by a final score of 4-3. And I think it's important to note that it is their fifth loss in a row. And am I surprised? I know I'm not. Am I frustrated? I don't know. It's weird, dude. I think this is once again a necessary evil. I'm not embracing Tank Nation like I was last season, but I still think it's necessary for that. Maybe one more element we need up front, another maybe player or two. Well, so far with the two first round picks that we have this coming draft, but who knows, that could change. It's the same mistakes, Joey. Let's be honest. It's the same thing over and over again. It's just the lack of experience of being a 60-minute hockey team.
It is. It's part of their new, I wouldn't say new nature, but it's part of their nature now where, they can't seem to last for 60 minutes and they can't hold leads, which has been frustrating me the most.
Yeah.
That's one of their biggest glaring chances, and you see it in New Jersey game. They actually did well to stifle a bit of New Jersey's attack. They held them to, I think it was 17 shots to midway of the third before Matheson started having some of his mess ups that led to those couple goals. Yeah. So they were doing well, and Allen was doing tremendous, even on the power play that New Jersey had at the end of the game. That bad Nick Suzuki penalty, you know, it cost them. It obviously gave New Jersey the lead. And they just can't seem to hold on. That's their biggest weakness right now. And then second is obviously finishing. We're going to probably talk a little more about Josh Anderson. I mean, the guy can hit the right side of a bar.
I don't recall seeing a player being snake bitten as much as he has in recent memory. Like, I don't know if you want to add Jonathan Drouin in the discussions. Again, as far as recent memory, I remember Max Pacioretty was very streaky, but yet he still was a 30-goal scorer. Look, our last episode, Zook and I, we mentioned how I feel bad for Josh Anderson personally, but my goodness gracious, like if this afternoon's game or the game against the Devils was not... I think this game was a summary of Josh Anderson's season. I've tried, in the words of Chester from Linkin Park, I've tried so hard and got so far, but in the end, it doesn't matter. Like, no, God rest his soul. My goodness, the 2-on-1, he misses the open net, gets fed a beautiful breakaway pass, I think, by Joshua Roy, who I like to talk about a little bit in this episode. Fucking hits the crossbar, just misses it. Like, and in all honesty, like, it's not for lack of trying. There might have been a couple of games where, like, even I was like, where the heck is Josh Anderson? I see his name in the lineup, barely saw him on the ice. Dude, today, like, at some point, like, you know what the funny thing is? He still got an assist on Brendan Gallagher's goal. He still got an assist.
He did. But his main thing for me, Sam, is he's got a score. Anderson's never been the playmaker.
No, exactly.
He's a little snake bitten. I feel bad, but not, I don't know how to say this in the right way, but this is who he is. I think he doesn't have the finishing touch. So although I feel bad, in some cases I don't, because I'm like, okay, well, this is the player he is. This is what happened.
Right.
Maybe not this badly. I get it. But this has always been a weakness in Anderson's game. And I don't know, when we signed that long contract of his, I was a little worried. Thinking when we would come to a point where we had younger players, you know, playing at a different level, he wouldn't be able to keep up. And to me, that's what's showing. And between him, anyways, this whole game brought exactly what's been frustrating about Montreal. I'm not pro tank mode either. I just want to see them progress and do well, but it is the same issues that are glaring every game. I don't mind if they're present once in a while or every so often, but it's like, it's not something that's improving, or it's not something that's like, oh wow, they have the lead, let's keep it. Games where they did have the lead, example, New York Rangers, and the game where I think it was Gallagher that took a bad penalty. I think they even though they tied it, or a bad giveaway,
Was it against Buffalo?
Monahan scored not too long after.
Oh, okay, right.
I forget who it was, the team. Those two games come to mind. Yes, we came out with the victory, but the first part of it is we blew the lead like we did tonight. This time we're on the wrong end of it. So between that and guys like Anderson, it's not only Anderson that have trouble finishing as many chances that created as we do create, it's frustrating. I'm not the take a look at the Pittsburgh game actually just before this one.
Yeah.
We outchanced Pittsburgh 15-4 on 5-on-5, and we lost the game 4-1. Yes, okay, they might have done better on the power play, but it's just to say we don't finish our chances, and it's been like this all season. That's where you're seeing the help up front. We need another goal scorer. I mean,
becoming
a problem, and for our most glaring weakness with defensive structure, goaltending, or mix, I think Marty really, in the offseason, he's going to need to work on a team structure for defense, because it's
1,000%. I wanted to ask you that actually, because like, look, throughout the game against New Jersey, like I've noticed many times, like they're collapsing well in front of Allen. At least they were in the first period, but then there was a couple of times like it's just a mental error where you're not at the right place at the right time. And in the last couple of games, and I agree with you on Jake Allen, I thought he had a very good game. I thought he was left hung out to dry, especially in the third period. But he's giving up these pretty massive rebounds. And if you're not at the right, and if you're not at the right place at the right time, those rebounds, if they're picked up by the opposing team, member of the opposing team, it's going in the net. And that's at least the first two goals of Jersey. That's exactly how it happened.
Don't you think this might be on Marty? I think there's something that he hasn't been good with. Well, him and the coaching staff is Montreal's defensive structure. I don't know. I feel like if you would put, it's a bit bold statement, someone who is more defensive minded, which I don't want to be, someone who has maybe a little more experience, has more defensive structure, they would maybe leak in less goals. I think that's something that I feel Marty as a coach for himself and the staff should work on in the summer to be a better, not only a better coach, but it would also help the team. Like every coach has their strengths and weaknesses. No coach is perfect.
Oh, we seem to have technical difficulties, but I agree with Joey. Like Joey's going to find a way to come back. I totally agree with Joey. I don't know if this is a bit of a an experimental thing that they're doing with defense, but something's got to change. Joey, while you were away quickly, I was just saying, like, I don't know if Marty is like waiting to see what the attack looks like. Because let's be honest, the Canadians this year, as far as the defensemen are concerned, hey, they're still second in the league with most goals by your defensemen behind Colorado. That part's encouraging. But at the same time, too, like, I think the defensive structure of this team cannot continue coming in next year, like once these younger guys, you know, they get the experiences that they are getting this season. So far, knock on wood, no injuries to the main defensemen of this team. No injuries to, you know, the Caden Gooley, Arbor Jacki that got them last year. Jaden Struble, apparently, thank God he's not out for long. He's day to day. It's not as serious as it looked. I don't know if it was a groin or an Achilles heel. That was a weird.
Okay, yeah, non-contact is usually more serious, yeah. But luckily. But Sam, you just said it. It's not as if Montreal's had major injuries on the back line. They've had, and they're still leaking in a lot of goals. They're doing well again offensively. Something's working well, but I don't know. There's no balance to actually doing what their job is to defend between them and the goaltender. It's something I think the entire coaching staff has to work on because we have the players.
Yeah.
Maybe part of it is going to be an experience. I get it, but I don't know. I expect a little bit better of defense by Montreal this season, which we haven't seen at all.
No, I get that. But do you think part of it is, I personally don't think it is, but I'm going to ask you this question. Do you think part of it has to do with the three goalie system they got going on? Like they have to adjust every time a new goalie comes in. So
definitely
how they play in front of the goaltender is not as consistent to a game, or like they can't keep playing the same style on defense. I don't want, like, Marty doesn't like to use the word system when he first started, but they can't keep a same consistent play in front of the goalies because the goalies are changing every other game or so.
Yeah, it certainly affects them. And we've said it, Sam, and look, I said this a while ago and needed to stop. And I know you and I think Zouk would say to bring up Allen's value, I think that's over. I think his value for this year, it ain't going to change much, especially with trade deadline coming up in, what, 2 weeks? A week and a half.
March 8th, yeah, we're getting closer.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, dude,
So I think it should stop now. I think it needs to stop. It's February.
Well, I don't think Kent Hughes is that stupid to think, we could run the three goalie system till the end of the year. To me personally, if we still have the three goalies, it's because there was no offer.
Oh, for sure.
I think because Hughes, I think no matter what, Hughes is going to try to trade a goalie. We're all speculating, Allen. It could be Primo. Who knows? Only Kent knows. But if no trade is made because there was no good offer out there.
Right. So let's say that doesn't happen. I'm fine if he wants to be patient about it. But let's say that doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. Are you running the three goalie system now because you're forced to? I would think personally you bite the bullet. Like, I'm thinking more of next season. I think personally you bite the bullet. You choose two goalies and the third one just doesn't play unless there's injuries.
I think no matter what, I think if it doesn't happen at the deadline, hypothetically speaking, if Allen is not gone by the deadline, I expect him or another goalie to be gone around draft day, maybe a little bit before free agent, in the offseason.
Trade deadline, because now we're still kind of in limbo if a goalie is being traded, so we're running all three. But if at trade deadline, there's no good offers, we're stuck with three goalies for the rest of the year. It's confirmed.
Yeah.
Do you see them being forced to play all three goalies because they have to? Or at that point, you just say, you know, I'm sorry, Jake Allen, but I'm going with these two until one of them gets injured.
Well, here's another thing that you just made me think of. Right now, the Laval Rocket are shitting the bed. They're shitting the bed. Like, they're losing all these games that are important, ruining their chances of making playoffs.
They need me there, Sam.
They need you there. They need you there. They need me there. They need the curfew boys there. What if you send Primo down to, like, give them a boost in goaltending?
Do you get does he have a waiver claim?
He has to pass through waivers.
I wouldn't do it. If you think you're going to get somebody, I think Kent Hughes' goal is to make Montreal as successful as possible. I don't know if I'd risk sending Primo down to Laval, because if he gets claimed, you lose him for free when you might be able to get an offer in the offseason for him.
But what? I agree with you on that front. But what if the market for the goalie isn't there anymore after trade deadline.
It could be there in the off season. You don't know until you get there. That's the problem.
You're right. Right.
So I don't know what the advantages would be. Sorry, the disadvantages would be to try to send down Primo. The risk to me is too much for Laval.
You think the risk is still there after trade deadline? You think the risk of
the risk of you're asking me if you would send Primo down, but you risk waivers and you lose him for free. There goes losing an asset or a trade piece.
Yeah, I understand that. But like, if they really judge and analyze that the risk isn't there anymore because all the teams got their goalies and like, or the market's just not there. I get your concern and I actually agree with it. It's just a question. I don't have an answer to this, but I'm wondering if.
Let's I thought say, Gignac was a risk, right? So
yeah, but they sent him down because they were pretty confident that he wasn't going to get claimed,
right? So if they have, we don't know that
exactly. Intel, we don't exactly.
So if they have that intel that you know they're confident of sending out Primo without getting picked up, then okay. But if he gets picked up, you lose a trade piece or an asset.
Yeah, I
wouldn't risk Laval, that. Sam. I know how much you love Laval. I always want good things for Laval, but. Mm-hmm. Hughes and Gorton's priority will always be Montreal, so they'll do whatever is best for Montreal before they do anything for Laval.
Yeah, well, to me, sending Gignac down because after they claimed Colin White on waivers, I understand it's the roster size; you can only have 23 guys. But I also saw that as them sending Gignac down to help Laval. Well,
yeah, that was a way to help them. I don't think Primo, there's no alternative you could take for Primo to replace him, in my opinion, in terms of age and caliber of goalie. I don't think you can get anybody free on the market like you did with Colin White.
Yeah, that's true. No, I totally see what you're saying.
But I think they need to stop it, Sam. Obviously the season is lost. Like, we're not going to make playoffs. But if they want to, if they want to give confidence or give like a certain I'm not going to say hope, but I'm going to say level of trust to a goalie. I think they need to decide who are you going with. If I was the goalie, maybe besides Montembeault, we kind of know, but even Montembeault, I mean, I would be mad at him because I'm getting less starts than I should.
Yeah.
Because of this whole situation. That. I would of go course. To the coach. Well, I know it's probably Hughes making the call for it, but I would go to St. Louis because that's who he reports to and saying, hey, look, I'm kind of upset here. I know you're in this situation, but I mean, if I want to strive to get better, I can't keep playing once every third game.
But this also, but this also affects Primo's development.
Absolutely,
he's not getting as many minutes as, or he's not playing as many games as he probably should.
Yeah, absolutely. It's for both. I know Allen is on the short end of the stick here, but we have two goalies that we're kind of going with. I mean, I wouldn't be upset for me, Primo. I told you my feelings that I don't think he'll be. The number one we want, but if he still develops into a decent number two, I mean, that's still a piece you need because, you know, Everybody needs two goalies.
Right. Exactly. That Joey with his technical difficulties and he'll be right back for sure. Yeah, it's absolutely that. But at the end of the, we all know and like everybody knows, Habs fans know that this three goalie system bleeding has to stop.
And sorry, Sam.
It's all good. It's all good. You're back.
Crashing. Nothing else. It's just my camera. No, it's, I have to see it. But anyways, you can cut that part.
It's all good. We're still good to go. There's no need to edit. Look, watching New Jersey play though today. Like I kind of wonder if they put Allen in net, just to showcase him to the team.
Maybe. Well, New Jersey is a desperate team. They're desperate hockey, right? Because they're not.
They really are. Well, dude, the first half of the game, they didn't look like a team desperate to make playoffs.
No, exactly. Montreal doesn't shut many people down, and they were shutting New Jersey down early on.
You mentioned the shots earlier. It was at one point, it was like 19-7, 19.
Yeah.
19, it was almost double the shots the Canadiens were putting up against the Devils. And it to me, what hurts them is that they don't have Dougie Hamilton on defense. That's an obvious.
Lot, yeah,
but I their combo of Nico Dawes and Isaac Poulter, like, dude, I don't know, man.
No, they, I don't. I personally don't think they'll make playoffs unless they go on a big run. I don't think they'll make it. They're playing hockey right now, New Jersey, as if they're desperate for wins, but I don't think they're doing it in an efficient or smart way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it, really.
So anyways, like I said, I was kind of wondering if the Canadians were showcasing Allen. But look, we mentioned it before. I know you think he's got no more value anymore. Personally, this is my opinion. I think whether he's playing well or not, like the pro scouts and all these other teams and GMs, they know who Jake Allen is by this point in his career. He has that one value, whether he's playing well or he's playing poorly. I think at the end of the day, the pro scouts and GMs know what he's worth.
Yeah, and absolutely. I don't think some of his play this year is, and I've been sort of backing him up. I don't think it's all on him. I don't think so either.
But no, of course
I think it would, like we were talking about, defensive structure. You can clearly see it this game. Everyone knows who Jake Allen is. If his value changes, it's a little bit either higher or lower, probably on the lower end. It's more like guys like Primo, who coaches or GMs don't know much about. So you see him more as he plays. Where Jake Allen, people have seen him for so many years. I think like a few games here, a few games there, doesn't change much of his value. People
exactly.
People know what you're going to get out of Jake Allen. So
I don't know. Third round pick, conditional, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Conditional third round pick. Maybe throw in a minor league guy that could hopefully help Laval or something. I don't know. Out of New Jersey, they don't have a second round pick. They're definitely not giving a first round pick for Jake Allen. Like, no, not even for Primo. So I don't know. I could see them.
Allen for a couple of picks, get a first and the.
That's the thing. They're weak. They're kind of weak on the right side. Like Simon Nemec, yeah, he's great. Luke Hughes is a left-handed Siegenthaler. Like John Marie, they don't have much on the right side. But I think if the Canadians are going to trade Savard, it's to a team that's guaranteed to make playoffs and has a very good chance of making a longer run. But I want to get back to the game that Nick Suzuki penalty. I want to talk about Nick Suzuki too a little bit, but Nick Suzuki's penalty, yeah, it kind of would mess up. Mike Matheson had a massive brain fart,
yeah,
on that Nico Hischier goal.
Yeah, well, both goals. I mean, he got blown by Jesper Bratt for the
God, yeah, that one too. That one too. And
he had an extremely rough third period.
He really did.
We take bad penalty, like badly timed penalties. To me, a penalty under 10 minutes left in the third in a tie game, I wouldn't say it's late in the game, but it's pretty close. Well, it's just a bad penalty to take.
You're pushing your fucking luck.
Especially in a game where the refs weren't calling as much. They didn't have a penalty till midway through, I think, the second period, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So they weren't calling much.
And the Canadians, they got – is this the first game this season where the Canadians have zero power play?
Yeah, it seems that way. I'm sure there were a game or two, but it certainly seems that way. But in a game, Sam, where it's a ref that wasn't calling much, games like these happen, the refs, the way the game is being played, and you get a penalty. It was around the 7:30, 7:40 mark in the third. I don't know. It's a bad penalty to take. And then obviously Matheson made it work after Allen made two or three great stops.
Yeah.
Matheson made it worse. He got scored on by Hischier. And then Jesper Bratt just afterwards, that's what ended the game. We came back in, a bit of life. Suzuki tries to always, you know, save the team. But unfortunately, it was a little too late. And they lost.
Well, let's talk about Nick Suzuki for a bit. Dude, 22 goals. He's four goals away from tying his personal best at 26 last season. And there's what, 53 games left? What are they game at right now? No, sorry, they're at game something. They're at game 54. They got 24 games left, something like that.
Yeah. He should get close to 30. Who was our last 30 goal scorer?
Number 11, yeah, Brendan Gallagher, when he was on the line with Philip Danault and Tomas
Tatar.
Hey, got to give credit where it's due. He's Brendan Gallagher scored a nice goal. Did you see the stats? Did you see oh my God, what's the word I'm looking for? The milestone. Did you see his milestone? Brendan Gallagher's milestone?
I did not.
I don't know how this is going to make you feel, Joy, but it's so funny because I checked this yesterday amongst all-time records and points in Montreal Canadiens franchise history. So with that goal, Brendan Gallagher now ties with Serge Savard for 35th on the
I didn't see that.
Show your face. Oh, my God.
That's just because he played so many more games.
It was Serge Savard for 35th on the Canadiens' all-time points list at 412. So you got to
how many games did he play?
Oh, that's a good question. I could search that up.
Compare the amount of games he played to Serge Savard.
Compare. Okay, well, listen. There's a very good website I go on called as I'm searching right now, Quant Hockey.
Oh yeah, I've heard of it.
I actually love that website. Dude, when Carey Price was still playing, I would search his win numbers just to see, you know, where he would go up in terms of like all time wins, and hold on a sec, I'm having a bit of a hard time here. Let's go with teams. Here we go, Montreal Canadiens. I'm going to go with all-time record.
While you're searching that, the goal was nice, and we spoke about this in our group chat before, but his defensive play on that goal that they let up.
Yeah, but that's, again, a brain fart. Again, when you're not in the right place at the right time, you're going to –
He's a big reason why that second goal was scored. And so I know Zouk in our chat, for everyone watching or listening to this, said, well, he's even. I don't think you want to be that as a player. To me, being even,
is not
what you want to consistently be. You want to be better than that. If you're worse, well, obviously it's the worst, but you don't want to be even. You want to be better. That's what wins you games. And it was just bad goal to give up. But look, it's not Matheson level, but it was bad to give up by Gallagher.
No, I get it. Look, you got to give credit where it's due, and you got to point out the mistakes as well. But what kind of sucks is that, like, the Evans. Anderson Gallagher line, aside from the first line, they actually created quite a few scoring chances.
Yeah, they had a 3-on-1, I remember as well.
Arbor Jacka, and I forgot who the defenseman was, New Jersey, but
that hit a skate,
dude. Like just the
just fucking, barely, I know.
Just the tip, just you know how we all like just
what Gallagher tip, right? Scored.
Joey, pay your bills. Yes, Joey, I'm convinced Gallagher would have scored. I'm just saying, Joey, whenever you come back, I'm going to tell you. Yes, Joey, Gallagher would have scored.
Okay. Sam, please cut the parts where just exit me. I don't know.
No, we don't have to cut anything, Joey. Like it's fine. There's no loss.
I don't know what it is. It's literally just StreamYard that crashes and my camera shuts off. Mm-hmm. Nothing else.
Pay your internet bills, maybe. Why don't you?
That's what I'm saying. Nothing else. Everything else is fine. I don't know what it is with StreamYard with me. I have bad luck with it.
It could be.
Anyways, I don't know if Gallagher scores that. So
I think he does. Okay. I say he does.
I say the opposite. I say he
scores that.
I say he misses the net like Anderson did.
My God, back. Poor guy. But actually, did you know that when Gallagher scored in the second period, it's been 151 minutes since we had a goal from a forward.
Yeah, I know. That's like, not good. I know. If it isn't the first line, it isn't happening.
If it's not Nick Suzuki and Slavkovsky and Caulfield, yeah, man. Like,
yeah, if it's not the first line, it's not happening. That's basically what it is.
So, here, look. I had the discussion with Zouk last episode, but I'll ask you this. Like, Are you for sure encouraged seeing Kirby Dach skating a little bit here and there?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think much of it because I know he's not going to play. Mm-hmm. But it's encouraging to see. But my encouragement when someone's close to returning, and I don't think he's going to return. But it is nice to see that he's you know.
But like, how much are you really like? They need to put a fucking second line surrounding Kirby Dach together. Like they really. It goes without saying, duh. But
Sam,
who do you?
Why do you think I left mid-draft when I wanted to draft a highly, you know, talented forward? Because I want them to plug in to have more than just what they had in Suzuki, Caulfield, and at the time, Doc.
What about Demidov?
Yeah, well, yes, it would be nice, but Sam,
it would be nice if he's there.
Will Hughes choose him? I don't know. I don't want to get into a draft discussion, but
no, we don't have to. Yeah, but here, look,
choose a forward. Last year, like, I thought, no way is he choosing a defenseman, and he did it. Considering the holes we had in offense, more than defense.
You know why I think he picked a right-handed defenseman? I just think that he's seeing Justin. Unfortunately, I have to call him out, Justin Barron. I don't think he's been playing up to the level that they thought he could.
You're right, but doesn't he see that Montreal have trouble scoring, finishing? I don't know. That's the part where we'll see at the draft. But yes, I would like to have him, or in general, I would like, you know, have a line or teammates with Doc next season, because they need more than just that line to score, that first line.
Listen, we don't have to discuss who you think they might pick, but if they do pick a forward with their first round pick, the Canadians' first round pick, do you foresee that forward being the eventual second line player that could be on a line with Kirby Dock?
Obviously, depends who it is, but I hope at their draft position, yes, it would be. Not even a second line forward. Like, I'm just going to go with a top six, because then they can alternate where they play. Like, you never know, Suzuki, Caulfield, and
next season? I want to make a prediction next season.
Okay.
Assuming everybody's healthy, assuming the Doc is healthy, Newhook, Josh, I would really spark Anderson again next season. Forget about everything that's happening now. You start next season fresh. See where you're at in terms of your career. I really think put in a line of Newhook and Kirby Doc. Kirby Doc with a line, Newhook on the left, Josh Anderson on the right.
I'm going to say trade for somebody. I'm going to say maybe it's a time to trade for somebody.
That's not a bad idea either. I'm going with the assumptions that, look, there's no trades that are made yet.
Yeah.
A draft pick was made, a forward, hopefully, but you know, either one more year in junior or 1 year in Europe, or maybe plays a year in Laval.
Any prospects stepping up? Roy,
Roy's playing a smart game, man. Like, he looks better with the Canadians than he did with Laval, his last couple of games with Laval. It's weird.
I was waiting for you to bring him up. He has an interesting statistic, what I like, Sam. Do you follow much of the Corsi ones?
I have a hard time understanding them. I need you to teach me. Okay, so teach me, master. Teach me the ways of the Corsi.
There's a certain statistic called the CF percentage or Corsi 4 percentage, which basically means how much more puck possession your team has compared to the other team while that player is on the ice.
Right.
So Roy is, again, he does have less games. He actually is second in Montreal for that. He's at 52%.
Is that so? That's super interesting.
So that's Roy. Nick Suzuki and those guys are roughly around, I think it was 49, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But he's actually higher at 52. Which, I have to see who's number one.
What website do you find these stats, by the way?
Natural Stat Trick has StatMuse. You might like Natural Stat Trick. I'll send it to you.
Natural Stat Trick. Yeah. Send it to me after. Real quick, Joey. Brendan Gallagher, 412 points in 728 NHL games. Serge Savard, 412 points in 917.
Okay.
Don't forget, he's a defenseman. Savard was a defenseman, man. So, and listen, and Gallagher is 3 points away from tying Ivo Lambert.
Okay.
So,
I mean, look, Sam, everyone knows my feelings
about it. I'll do you one even more. Look, you this is going to fucking blow your mind. Gallagher he's 14 goals away from tying Stefan Richer. And if he does that, he actually beats Stefan Richer at all-time points. I'm just saying. Stefan Richer at 421 points with the Canadians. It's just with the Canadians.
How many games? I'm always going to go with how many games.
Yeah, for sure. Stéphane Richer got 421 points in 490 games with the Canadiens.
And how many games does Gallagher have?
728.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah, and he ties, in doing so, they tie Howie Morenz. Howie Morenz and Stéphane Richer are tied with 421 points.
Jeez, that's everyone crazy knows my feelings about him now. Earlier in his career, he did all right, but now it's
But you know what, Joey? It's funny. I was thinking this as I was watching the game. Like, we talk about Brendan Gallagher, you look at even Tanner Pearson, yeesh, and man,
first line, I thought, right? Who said that again? I won't mention names.
He's not here. He's been hiding since we called him up. No, I'm kidding.
Of course.
Like guys like Gallagher and Pearson, their ages are getting exposed as we see them play these fast teams. Like, yeah. Holy crap. And you're there thinking like they're 31, 32, not that old. Like, Jesus Christ, in the game of hockey, like if you're a Sidney Crosby and an Alex Ovechkin freak still playing after 36, it's because you're a specimen, but you're still an old timer. Like,
there's not as many these days.
Zook and I, we were talking about this, that, you know, guys are retiring like at a younger age because of injuries and all that. It's like, but it's also because the game is getting that much faster.
Could you imagine the Chris Pronger's, Hal Gill's today? Chara, you're kind of.
And he was put like, but he was pushing. But Zdeno Chara, the difference with him is that, like, I heard he keeps himself in like this crazy shape.
Sure, just for his speed wise, Sam, I know he has a good reach, but in today's hockey, if he played, like, let's say he was still mid-30s,
he'd get exposed like big time.
Exactly. Yeah, the game is quicker, and that's, again, the game always changes. At a certain point, bigger teams, maybe the way it was ref, the rules, bigger teams were dominating, and then it went to small skill players. Now it's just the game is fast. To be honest, it gives me this sort of, I was thinking of a commercial where they would show old timers eating like spaghetti and pasta. Like,
It was you had Johnny Gaudreau, you had Willie Nylander, and you had Jonathan Drouin, the old timers. You had, there was Doug Gilmore, there was Mario Tremblay. And who was the one from Calgary?
I don't remember the player.
Oh my god, this is gonna bug me, but I have to search it up. But yes, I remember. The best one was like the three of them are. I think they're drinking like some kind of shake, like some kind of green shake or something.
Yes.
And then they look at the old timers. They're just the massive plate of spaghetti. Like what? You guys don't carb load before your games? And you know what the funny thing is? It's like, They go to Mario Tremblay and they're like, "You want some pepper?"
Pepper, yeah.
Mario Tremblay. So,
but it made me think of that commercial because it's just the game for the human body is just it's just advancing so much.
Yeah.
Before players, if you were faster, it's because you were more smaller, athletic type. But now, between nutrition, technology, I find it's advancing so far that you're seeing guys 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", skate like it's nothing. Like, as if they were 5'10 back in the day, 5'11 being the fastest players on the ice. I think that's due to nature of just the world, you know, advancing and always trying to be better and better.
Evolving, yes. Yeah.
Evolving, yeah, that's the right word for it.
Exactly. Did you see real quick? Talk about guys 6'4", 6'5", still being able to play. Like the guy from the Rangers, what's his name? Not Kempe. He played. He's like, it's his third game now in the NHL with the New York Rangers. He made his debut, the Outdoor Classic. He got in a fight with Nicolas Deslauriers earlier today.
Yeah. What's his name? It's gonna bother me now.
Hold on a sec. Rempe.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, like, dude, this kid, man, 6'7", and
he can skate, right?
He can really skate. It's again, The taller, bigger players have
sports, right? It's I know we talk about hockey, but if you ever see it in football, you ever see it in football or basketball, like these guys that are 6'9", 10, they're running like a 4.3 is what we say in the combine. Like when you run a 40-second dash, you're running like they're doing a 40-second dash in like 4 seconds.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
They're specimens for a reason, but yeah. What do I want to say too? I wanted to talk a bit about Yaroslav Slavkovsky. Like I thought tonight he brought, or today, this afternoon, he brought his playmaking abilities, man.
Yeah, he had really good shifts today. Like it showed he was a good like power forward, 6'4". He showed that today. He had some really awesome shifts, and he's given me a lot of confidence when he goes to the board that more often than not he'll come away with the puck.
Yep. Yeah,
so it works for him, because when I see Caulfield in a corner, I was like, okay, this is
But that's not Caulfield's game. Yeah, but you know what, dude, Caulfield, his defensive game is getting a lot better.
His defensive and playmaking, his goal scoring might suffer from it, but his defensive and playmaking has certainly been improving. It's been lately, it's been Suzuki improving on his goal scoring, while his two line mates have been improving on their playmaking. Because we were talking a bit about Suzuki, right? He's four away from his personal best.
Yeah, but what against Buffalo, against the Sabres, like from the blue line, skating back to stop a breakaway. I forgot who was on the breakaway against the Sabres. Like, what a backcheck.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope one day we get to see Suzuki win the Selkie, kind of like Patrice Bergeron, Ryan O'Reilly have throughout their careers. Like, I think he's got it. I really think he's got it. His face off percentage is getting way better.
Yeah, that's one area where Munchell's improved. That's what we're saying. Steady progression in certain areas. We've seen it. Mm-hmm. Besides the two weaknesses that we haven't, is the finishing beyond the first line and the defensive structure. But those areas have really, at least certain areas, have improved. So it hasn't been a total dull season where you see no improvement. Even without Doc, certain areas have gotten better. You know, with Slavkovsky, faceoffs, Suzuki scoring, Caulfield's defense. And we saw a good amount of what the Habs have been this year in this New Jersey game. We saw basically what the Habs are this year. It had everything. Montreal scoring through Suzuki, Montreal having a lead and blowing it, dumb penalties and dumb mistakes by their defense, and guys not being able to finish. So we really had it all this game.
It's you know what? If you really realize it and analyze it like you have, I think this game is, again, another summary of what the season has been so far.
Yeah, a bit of it all, for sure.
I know we talk about Matheson had a rough third period, but he did kind of redeem himself on that on Suzuki's second goal, though. Like, that desperate poke check, I don't know how the heck he... I don't know how the heck he got that, but...
I'll give him credit for that part, Sam, but then he fumbled the puck after.
Yeah, I know.
To exit the zone. But, that's the so frustrating part of it. Like, you do so good and then you do that. That's the thing.
I still think Matheson is so valuable to this team. I know a lot of people absolutely think
it's one
he's still valuable to this team.
He's our number one.
He's so good, and like he's got what? He's top 10. He's ranked 10th overall in points from defensemen in the league.
Yeah, no. He's doing
that's not bad at all.
Him, he can have an off night. I don't mind. Other guys can't have it as much, but him,
you know what?
You can give him a pass.
Before we end off on like one last question, I gotta ask, kind of regarding Suzuki. I thought Caden Gooley had an excellent second period.
Yeah, he did.
Like he got
a 60, not 20. That's the thing. That's
fair enough. But
he had a great second period for sure.
Yeah, but like again, he's another one that I really want to see Caden Gooley next year to kind of follow the footsteps of Matheson, really be that two-way defenseman. I really want to see Gooley on the power play. He's great on the penalty kill, I truly think. I want to see Caden Gooley on the power play next season. On the second wave, even if you give him the second wave, I really think he deserves a chance.
If other defensemen or Barron doesn't come back or pick something up, we might see it. Depends on who comes in next year, what happens.
I don't know what's going to happen with Barron, and he's an RFA too. Jack Eye's an RFA. Hughes is going to have to make a bit of a decision
tough,
here.
Tough
but,
decisions for yeah. sure.
Listen, we were talking about Nick Suzuki. And a question that I've been meaning to ask, but like we haven't had the chance to talk about it on the Curfew Boys on this podcast, with the announcement of NHL players going back to the Olympics and then this four country tournament, do you see Nick Suzuki cracking the Team Canada lineup?
I do. I think I do. Probably like fourth line center. I wouldn't see why not.
Yeah.
Besides what there's McKinnon, Crosby, McDavid.
Yeah, but not all three of them are going to play center, though.
I'm naming three centers. Can you name like four or five guys that are ahead in terms of his position?
Braden Point
will probably. I think they're probably going to put him wing.
Okay,
he's played wing a lot in Tampa.
I really think you're gonna bring back guys like Crosby. His contract is up when they go back to the Olympics. I think he'll be there out of the respect for him. And listen, if he doesn't win a Stanley Cup from now till he retires, in his last year of his contract, if he could win another gold medal and he goes down with three Stanley Cups and three Olympic gold medals, I think they give him that opportunity. That's why they put him in the lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think he's going to be the centerman. I think they might do this. I think they might give Steven Stamkos that same opportunity.
Yeah, he's the one who might edge out Suzuki, but I don't know if you're trying to win.
As a centerman, but because are you putting McKinnon at center? I think you put McDavid at center. Does Braden Point go wing?
I think McKinnon goes center. He always does it for Colorado. Why would they push him out? Like Braden Point has done both, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Braden Point has done it a lot when Tyler Johnson was there and they were stacked.
It depends who your wingers are. Like if you're getting Mitch Marner as your winger, you're getting maybe Braden Point. Think
they have so much talent that they can. They can fit. You know, Braden Point at the wing with somebody like Crosby at center.
Are you bringing a guy like Mark Scheifele to play like third line center?
Yeah, I don't know. To be honest, I haven't kept up with Winnipeg as much this year. I don't even know if Scheifele is doing better than Suzuki or vice versa. But Suzuki came to mind to me before Scheifele has.
I know, but like I'm trying to think of guys that if it were up to me, I'd put Suzuki second line center after. But I'm giving a biased reason here. But I'm trying to think of the centermen that are Canadian throughout the league. As best as possible, I can think off the top of my head here. Calgary? No, Chicago. I mean, you got to put Connor Bedard there too. Like, come on.
I think they're going to put him wing, especially.
I do think that as well. I'm trying to think. Do you put, does Mason McTavish make the team? Like, I'm trying to think guys that like played for Canada, won World Juniors. You know, there's one of the Johnson, Ken Johnson. Does he go there? I don't know. But I would hope to God Suzuki makes a team. I think they're going to look at the roster they put together for the four country tournament. I think they're going to do that first before deciding who's going to represent Canada in the Olympics. That's my personal feeling. And that's next year. That's in 2025. I think Suzuki might have a shot here, but he's going to have to really, like, he's going to have to outplay quite a few guys at the start of next season in order for him to really, really be looked at and be like, just kind of give whoever's in charge of putting this team together, like, kind of give them a tough decision and almost like no choice to do it.
Yeah, true. I mean, if he's playing like this now, next season, if we have a better team, I think he can outplay a few of the guys to make it. I don't think he'll be top six, but I think
he can suit
the third, fourth line better. I still think, and it's stuck in my head, that McDavid, I'll speak more to the four-team tournament that's going to come up sooner. I think McDavid,
McKinnon, Crosby.
And Crosby are going to be the top three.
Okay, so you actually think they're going to stick to those guys at centerman?
I think so.
You know, do they give, look, I mentioned Ryan O'Reilly, like he does, you know what I mean? I think, I know he's getting older, but again, out of respect of what he's done for this league, the type of centerman that he is.
Maybe.
There's no Patrice Bergeron anymore.
But so, I think we're saying Suzuki can fill that role, and he's done well defensively. I think guys like Coyne and Bedard will be the ones to be sacrificed and go to the wing. I don't know if they'll do that with Suzuki.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that. See, like, I don't think Tyler Seguin gets a shot. I don't think Jamie Benn gets a shot. I don't think Matt Duchene gets a chance. I'm not sure. All I know is that we're going to see for the Americans, both the four country tournament and the Olympics, we're going to see a line of Jack Hughes, Trevor Zegras, and Cole Caulfield. And then you know who the first pairing on defense is going to be? Quinn Hughes and Luke Hughes.
Yeah.
And we're fucked.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they have a good team.
Dude, the States, the Americans, holy fuck, they could put a team together. Where
they have us right now, and I mean, we're ending on this topic with the goaltending is were something that concerns me with Canada compared to the U.S. I'm not saying Connor Hellebuyck is nothing of like what we used to have back then.
He's still Connor Hellebuyck,
He's still better than what we have now, to be honest, as Canadian goalies.
Mm. I mean, who might think? Jake Ottinger might be. Could he be the number one?
Jake Ottinger, Aiden Hill.
Aiden Hill, yeah.
I've seen in like some prediction ones of Stuart Skinner.
Yeah.
But again, is Skinner
a typical like Edmonton Oiler, fucking could play very well in the season, but then when it comes down to these high pressure important games, he just shits the bed? Like I don't
I forgot him.
Tristan Jarry for sure. You want to know what Skinner? You don't want to know what could determine it? How the Edmonton Oilers do in the playoffs this year.
Okay, yeah.
I'm guesstimating here. But I think his opportunity, he's got to show what he can do when on the big stage.
That's true.
So it's going to be, but you know what? To end on that subject and to bring an end to this episode, like it brings a whole new level of excitement to the game of hockey. And I remember when there was the both of us with Anthony and my cousin Chris, this is an NHLPA event.
Yeah, you're right.
Listen, the owners, I think the owners benefit, like Gary Bettman probably benefits from this, but like the whole NHL benefits from this. The league benefits from this.
Of course, Bettman would benefit from this.
It's a business. Like,
I know, but Joey,
if you were in his position and you know, like,
I would be nodding my head.
Like you'd be want to make money.
Of course. Yeah, I know. I just got to get my shots in when I can with Bettman.
Why not? I think we all have to. But, buddy, I think we cut. I think we touched pretty much all the points we kind of need to. A little short and sweet episode, but still almost over the 50-minute mark. You got anything else to add?
No, that's all. We covered the game really well, and I was happy we get to talk extensively about it because, like I said, Montreal against New Jersey had everything of what we've done this season. It really emphasized Montreal's Canadiens. 2023-2024 in a nutshell. Really, this game showed most of it.
Yeah. So, as a recap, look, Canadians lose to the New Jersey Devils by a score of 4-3 on Saturday.
Five in a row. Tank mode is on.
Five in a row. Sunday, the Canadians are having their home skills competitions in front of fans at the Bell Center. And then we'll see the Canadians again on Tuesday nights against the Arizona Coyotes. To be 100% honest, I'm expecting another complete game by the Habs, kind of the same way they beat the Anaheim Ducks 5-0. I'm expecting that. I don't know if I'm expecting a shutout, but I'm expecting.
You're expecting a win.
Not only am I expecting a win, but I want like a good fashion beating complete game. The exact same way the Canadians played against the Ducks. If they get a shutout, like even better. But I want to see a complete game. And I want to see Yura Slavkovsky score or make plays to Suzuki and Caulfield. Like, I want to see the defense involved. Maybe Arbor Jack guy scores another fucking slapshot goal. Like,
if Arizona beats us, Sam, they actually tie us in the standings and they have less games played than we do.
I know. And Ottawa's knocking on our fucking back door, huh? So it's funny, weird. Saturday night, no Habs, but I'm probably going to watch Colorado Toronto that I got right now on the TV. So on
the TV. Looks like a great.
Somebody with the Nordiques jersey I just saw now. Cool. So, yeah, Joey, thanks for doing this. Really appreciate it. Thanks for taking the time. Like, once again, to all our listeners, new and old, thank you so much for the support and for tuning in. Please, once again, like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is free. Tell your friends about us. You can listen to all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. If you want to take part in any conversation, follow us on Instagram, Twitter. Send us a message. Send us your thoughts. Join the conversations. All for the love of this 5-game losing streak team that we call the Montreal Canadiens. Joey, thanks for doing this.
Thanks for doing this as well, Sammy. It was good speaking after our fifth straight loss.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Exciting times, as always. Until then. Pardon me. Tag mode is on. Yeah. Until then.
Bye now.
Good night.